Welcome to the Encouragement for Work podcast with your host, Mark Griffin, founder and owner of In His Name HR. Each week, Mark interviews nationally known thought leaders from corporate America, higher education, churches, and ministries. His goal is to bring you great ideas that help engage your employees, shift your culture toward higher performance, and increase employee loyalty at the organization you lead. Each episode features an idea or process that's made a tremendous impact on employees and employers alike. Now sit back, relax, and listen in as he delivers encouragement today through this episode's special guest.
Hello, and welcome to Encouragement at Work. Today, I'm really excited to introduce Al Lopez, a good friend of mine, but Al is the co-founder and board chair of the Best Christian Workplaces. Al has incredible background studying organizations, organizational development, and understanding culturally what goes on within organizations. I'm really excited to talk to Al today because, as we know, we're focusing on encouragement at work in 2024. We want to get away from all the negativity that we've all been exposed to in 2023, and we want to move forward with positivity. So, Al, we want to welcome you to the podcast. It'd be great if you could tell the listeners a little bit about your background.
Yeah, Mark, thanks. And it's really great to be here on the podcast. I appreciate your invitation. You know, I have enjoyed every interaction that we've had, and we have mutual friends and mutual ministry partners and clients as well. So, you know, in terms of background, prior to starting the Best Christian Workplaces, I was a regional leader for a large human resource consulting firm. At the time, it was called Watson Wyatt. Now it's called Willis Towers Watson. And I started in their Dallas office, managed their Denver office, and then came to the Pacific Northwest and managed the Seattle and Portland offices. And then I had a vision. I had a bit of a mystical experience, and God began moving me in a different direction. I felt a new calling. And it was the beginning of the Best Christian Workplaces. And the way that started was Christianity Today magazine came to me and said, well, we're thinking about doing an article like Fortune does of the best companies to work for, only for the best Christian places to work. And we're not sure how we could really do that list. And we think maybe you can help us. And it came as a result of a referral. And I had been doing the best companies to work for statewide magazine coverage for Washington and Oregon. So I had a very strong idea of how to go about doing it. So we, in the cover story of April of 2003, was the first 40 best Christian places to work. And at that point, Best Christian Workplaces was founded. And since that point, we've worked with over 1,500 different Christian ministries with our employee engagement survey and some of the largest churches in the country and around the world, and as well as we work in four sectors, churches, Christian schools, Christian nonprofit organizations, and Christian-owned, Christian-led companies. And it's been a great privilege to serve these organizations. In fact, last 2023, we had 262 certified Best Christian Workplaces that we're able to promote as a result of our research. So that's a high-level background and summary of who I am.
It's an incredible background, Al. You've been such a major contributor to all these organizations. And you're right, we have many people that we work with on a daily basis that are in the same circles, whether it's a Christian college or school, camp, churches, ministries. We work with many organizations that have your designation. I was reading in preparation for this podcast. It's just astonishing that you have over 300,000 people have gone through and you have all those data points. That's an incredible amount of information for leaders to garnish from, to come up with strategies and plans and best practices. So today we're talking about creating a flourishing workplace. I love the title. It gives me excitement, and I'm excited to hear you kind of unpack a little bit about what does that mean for you, for your organization? And then, of course, we're talking a little bit about the book that's recently been published. So you want to tell us a little bit about what's on your heart about creating a flourishing workplace, Al?
Well, first of all, when I was doing the Best Companies to Work For programs here in the Washington and Oregon area several years ago, I was really interested, and in fact, my entire career, I was always interested. Some organizations just seem to be really doing great. You know, people were coming to work, they were enthused, they were engaged, and they were making great progress. And then other organizations you'd go and you'd serve, and Mark, I know you've seen the same thing, and they'd be in a ho-hum. It would be people kind of, you know, they put their time in, but they weren't really engaged, enthused. They weren't making a lot of progress, but they were, you know, it was just really
floundering. You could say they're floundering. And just getting by. Nobody really, you know, they're there and they're producing, but they really aren't sure why they're there.
Exactly. And they're not excited about it. And so I thought to myself, what are the variables that make one organization, why is this one organization just really thriving, even flourishing, as I've come to use that term, versus floundering? And, you know, it has a lot to do with leadership. A lot of our audience, a lot of your audience, I know, is a faith-based audience. And I always came back to this verse about shepherd the flock that God has entrusted to you. Leaders, shepherd the flock that God has entrusted to you. And I found it was, you know, had a lot to do with the leadership in the organization and how leaders went about their work to make an organization flourish. And so I went about, as I began the Best Christian Workplaces, I went about, okay, so what are the variables? And so we went to the science of employee engagement, and we created an engagement indicators, you know, four core questions that really get at employee engagement. And, you know, we look at the amount of energy, enthusiasm, the commitment, and the passion that people have in the organization based on questions that that get at that. And then we took all of those questionnaires, as you said, Mark, over 300,000 questionnaires, and we did a factor analysis to determine, well, okay, so what are the factors that really lead to a flourishing workplace? And in this factor analysis, it basically came out just very clear of those organizations we had worked with. These are eight areas. There were clearly eight different areas. And as we looked at those questions and the way they were grouped, it came up with, you know, like teamwork and leadership and strategy and communication and talent. And so we just kind of put those together.
So you basically had eight themes, of questions.
Yep. Eight buckets of questions came out in this factor analysis. And I just read the book by a University of Pennsylvania, a Wharton professor, and he used the title Flourish. And so I began to think about flourish. Well, I love the basic Christian concept, the biblical concept of that word, and it actually worked out where that acronym, you know, would be an easy way to remember what those eight are. So fantastic teams, uplifting growth, outstanding talent, you know, and so on, that became the Flourish model. Yeah. And, you know, let me just mention again, it's fantastic teams, life-giving work, outstanding talent, uplifting growth, rewarding compensation, inspirational leadership, sustainable strategy, and healthy communication. Those are the eight key drivers or factors that came out of it.
Those are all incredible factors. And what I love about this methodology is you're doing training based on the results that you're getting from the data. So instead of many organizations, and it's been a frustration of mine, many organizations will say, oh, our leadership, they need training. They're bad leaders. They're not good supervising. So let's run them through management leadership training. And they put a 2-day course in and they feel like that's going to close the gap. But instead of doing that, a better way would be to maybe analyze the leadership capabilities, their strengths, their weaknesses, and kind of come up with an analysis of, oh, 90% of our leaders aren't effective in verbal communication. We need to create some training around verbal communication. Or our leaders are really good at training, but they're not really good at setting goals and objectives. So they need some areas of help. Is that kind of what you're indicating, like setting up survey and then following up with the right trainings?
You know, and that's the beautiful thing. It's actionable. And as you say, you know, so many times people will take a shotgun approach at trying to solve a problem, and they might be just anecdotal in terms of what people understand the problem to be, whereas you're able to measure it as I'm talking about here.
Sure.
You're able to get at it. And again, it's actionable. So, you know, what do you want to do? You know, even where in the organization, Mark, it's not even just overall leaders. It might be in larger organizations, you know, kind of specific pockets. And then, you know, another thing that comes out of it is we do a relative weights analysis. And so again, eight factors, you might think, well, gosh, that's a Those are a lot of factors, but we do a relative weights analysis to determine, based on the data, which of these factors are most important. And, you know, so we talk about moving the big dots forward, so we're able to identify, yep, inspirational leadership is typically the most important factor. And if that's low, well, let's look at see what it is that we can do to improve that versus a healthy communication or a rewarding compensation. So what is it that is weak? And if we want to move the big dots, you know, those that have the most weight forward to improve the health of the culture. So we can be very focused in our conversations and in our recommendations to really improve the health of the organization's culture.
That's excellent. Is there one of, out of all the eight themes, is there one or two or maybe three that always seem to be the ones that need the most work within the organization? Is that how you're seeing it, or is it sometimes sporadic?
It's really interesting because it's very organization dependent. What are some of the core themes? Well, Mark, as you go into organization, you can almost always say, well, communication probably could improve. And yes, we see that too. But we find that it's also by level in the organization. So for example, you know, leaders can focus on, well, inspirational leadership, you know, the character, the competence, the sense of moving the organization forward. That's leaders can impact that. They can impact communication because the two, even statistically, really come together as a linked. And so leaders need to be able to, first of all, listen and seek suggestions from employees, act on those suggestions, have meaningful conversations about what needs to be done as they're gathering information. So inspirational leadership and healthy communication, often a very much a leadership focus, but then there's human resource department focus or topics, you know, like outstanding talent would be a human resource focus to help, you know, bring in and attract, even retain and promote and reward the top performers in an organization. And then, of course, there's compensation and benefits, which is a very much a human resource focused
exactly.
area.
Yep.
And then there's a whole bunch of you know, a whole number of things that frontline managers need to be involved in. Uplifting growth is one which we really focus on. Do supervisors and frontline managers, do they care about their employees? Do they demonstrate, you know, care and concern for their employees, as well as are they competent? Because I think we've all had incompetent supervisors, and how that really doesn't help us in any way.
Uplifting growth is a great concept. I love that soundbite. It's really encouraging because that's probably the greatest opportunity that we see in many organizations, especially privately held for-profit companies that are maybe in manufacturing. So we support organizations all over the United States. Some of them may be manufacturing vitamins. It could be consumer products. It could be commercial construction. But all of those clients and all of your clients have supervision that many of them, they were really good at widget making. And they were great in the manufacturing line. And the wisdom of the managers were, well, if I take this employee that's really good at manufacturing and getting the widget out, we're going to promote them and they're going to make everybody really good at getting the widget out. And I think of that often because many years ago, I was working for a large corporation and we were doing some leadership development. And in one of our manufacturing plants where we had horrible turnover with the hourly employees, probably 12 out of 30 of the supervisors clearly did not have the skills nor the desire to be a leader. They were good widget makers. They got promoted. And then they got in a circumstance where financially it was really hard for them to get out of the role because they were being paid so much and it was hard to get back on the line. Is that some of the areas of opportunity that you run into as well, Al?
It is. And yeah, it just caused me to think of one that we worked with and, you know, just a great organization. And they grew so fast that they were just trying to, you know, keep up with the growth. So the people that had been around the longest, you know, who knew the jobs the best, were the ones that were promoted into supervisory roles. And then after a while, they realized that, oh, this isn't working out the way we had hoped it
exactly
would. And so they had to kind of then, as you say, back off of that. And yeah, that can be painful because you've got the wrong people on those critical first level. And, you know, we've all heard, and our listeners have heard, that people join organizations and they quit managers because they just oftentimes run into frontline managers that they're in touch with most regularly in terms of supervision that aren't effective. Yeah. So,
and that's been my experience as well. Yeah. So, Al, you've been a great guest, and we have just a few minutes. I'd love for you to talk a little bit about your book, Road to Flourishing, The 8 Keys to Boost Employee Engagement and Well-Being. You know, we'll have a link in the description for people to find it on Amazon. And I'm really excited to have you talk about it for a few minutes to let our listeners know that there is a great resource. And although they might have not gone through your certification program, through the Christian Best Places to Work organization, they can still garner some knowledge through the book.
Absolutely. And this is designed for all leaders. And so what's unique about this, Mark, is so we've taken, you know, all of those organizations we worked with and a similar podcast, and we've taken these theories and these principles, but we've used real life examples throughout the book. So again, the beginning chapter is called From Toxic to Flourishing. We talk about an organization that was really in a toxic workplace environment and what they did to become a flourishing workplace. It's a real organization. We don't mention their name, but
sure,
it's a real organization, and the story is real. And then we go through each of the 8 drivers or factors and describe them and what it is, again, stories about how organizations have really improved in each of those areas: fantastic teams, life-giving work, outstanding talent, uplifting growth, rewarding compensation, inspirational leadership, sustainable strategy, healthy communication. And then the last chapter is the Road to Flourishing, our three-step process and strategy for creating a flourishing workplace. And we believe, Mark, that an organization should really go back and discover the health of their culture on an annual basis, then build, so it's discover, build, and grow, build action plans to work on areas that can really improve and leverage the health of the workplace, and then to grow those things, picking one or two things each year as they move forward. So that's the basis of the book.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Al, for coming and being a guest today. Al's, again, the author of Road to Flourishing, 8 Keys to Boost Employee Engagement and Well-Being. And he also hosts a podcast. We'll have a link in the description for that as well, the Flourishing Culture Leadership Podcast. And it would be a blessing if our listeners would sign up and listen to Al's podcast as well. Al, God bless you. Have a wonderful rest of the winter, and hopefully we'll have you on in 2025. God bless. Bye-bye now.
I look forward to it, Mark. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
This episode of Encouragement for Work has been brought to you by Job Shepherd. Post-COVID-19 recruitment has been unquestionably hard for employers, with many struggling to find quality employees in the aftermath. Religious-exempt employers have had an especially difficult time. Welcome to Job Shepherd, a platform that will change all of this for you. Job Shepherd was created to meet the demand by Christian employers, including ministries, camps, churches, colleges, and Christian for-profit companies in their search for qualified job candidates. Now, for a limited time only, employers post a job for free. Job seekers, come join us. You are always free. Learn more at www.jobshepherd.com.